Thank you, Chris and team. Good morning. Welcome to everyone in this room today. For those of you who are watching in the video venue and online, we're so grateful for all of you this morning coming in here as we continue our series called What's the Point? Before we do that, though, we have some very, very special guests that we need to recognize today. For quite a few years, and I don't know how many that is, we have been home to Scout Troop 125. They meet here. A lot of the leadership comes from here or ahead. And you may have seen some guys in uniform today. So at this time, I would love to recognize all those in uniform. Troop 125, come on up on stage here, if you would. Give them a hand as they come up here today. Leaders, swell. They have been serving you today. One of the things, you know that there's a scout oath, and one of the things that they say is, honor, I will do my best to help other people at all times. They have been helping you today by opening doors and letting you in, and they will help let you out as well. But in addition to that, there's so much more service that the troop does all throughout our community. One thing I'm curious of is how many of you have been scouts? If you went through the scouting program, would you please stand? Anyone in this room? There we go. A couple of you. Look at this. Look at this. Wow, scouts all over the place here. Online, video venue, go ahead and stand as well. We appreciate you and your service. I'm not sure any Eagle ranks this year. Any of you guys achieve? Wonderful this week. So there we go. Some advanced ranks coming up here with this troop. And that is very characteristic of the Troop 125. A lot of scouts have gone to those advanced places. But even there, even if they don't receive that, they are committed to serving. And leaders, thank you. Thank you so much for this. I would just like to pray for you and thank you for being here today serving us. Let's pray together. God, we request a blessing today on these scouts that are standing here on the stage and their leadership, and as they pledge to do their best in achieving all the high goals that they list in their oaths. We pray that their service to the community and to their country might also render a pleasing service to you, not only out of duty, but out of a heart of love. Make us worthy examples of those who walk with steadfast love and faithfulness. We're so grateful, Lord, again, for these guys, for what this training will do for their future and for this community and for our country. For those that are pursuing those Eagle Scouts and going before the boards this week, God, I pray that you would just bless them, equip them, and strengthen them for that moment of testing and honor. God, we just love you today and thank you that we can honor you with our service as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, church, just give these guys a great big hand. Thank you for your service. You may be seated. All right, this is a no judgment zone, correct? We don't judge here at all, so let me just kind of put this right out there. So it was back in... I knew there. You don't know how hard this is for me. You're just making it a little bit harder right now. So it's back in 1975. Myron Cope received a phone call. It was actually from the secretary of the general manager and the vice president of radio, WTAE. And they were asking Myron to step across the hallway for a moment to Ted's office. Ted was the general manager. So Myron gets up out of his office, walks across the hall, and goes in, and he sees Ted Atkins huddled there with Larry Garrett, and they're discussing. And Ted looks up, and he says to Myron, you know, the Steelers are going to the playoffs, and the first game is right here in Pittsburgh. So we believe that as the flagship radio station of the Pittsburgh Steelers, we ought to come up with some kind of a gimmick that gets everybody involved. Everybody in the community. And so Ted looks at Myron and says, he barks, rather, he says, come up with a gimmick. Myron was like, he spent about 2 minutes trying to defend the fact that he's not a gimmick person and he's not the creative person. And then after a threat of being dismissed, he called together a group of advertisers and they brainstormed an idea for a gimmick that would get the people involved. I don't know if you knew this or not, but the very first gimmick that they came up with was that all 50,000 fans in the stadium at that time, Heinz Field, would wear black costume masks with gold letters across the mask that say, "Whatever it takes." Well, both Atkins and Garrett were like this, they were decisive that this was not the crowd pleaser that they were looking for. And so as they're still in this meeting, Garrett says, "How about a towel? How about a towel? We could call it the terrible towel. And we could go on radio and we could go on TV saying that the terrible towel is about to strike again." Thus, the gimmick of the terrible towel. Now, the reason that this became such a success was kind of concluded by the sports business analyst who have studied this towel. People do that. They study towels and why they become such a success, and they came up with two reasons why the terrible towel has become such a success for uniting and igniting the spirit in a Steeler Nation. Number one is the color. The color is attractive, man. It's bright. It's bold. It has contrast, gold and black. I mean, you can read this thing. So part of the reason why this became a success was because of the color, right? And fans can dress in the same colors and make a statement, right, all throughout the stadiums, and they do that. The second reason why the terrible towel became such a success is the motion. The motion. Now, I'm not a Steelers fan. That's why this is hard for me today. But the motion is kind of unique, right? You know that if you're a Steelers fan and you have one of these towels, the motion is you take the corner like this, you raise the towel above your head, and in counterclockwise motion. I see it. Some of you are doing it right now. Come on. What do you do? Come on. Let me hear it. Right? Yeah. This is hard. This is hard. But it's the motion, right? So. The motion and the color combined make this a very successful towel. Now, you probably know this is not my towel, right? I had no idea how hard it would be to get a Pittsburgh Steelers fan to hand over their towel to an Eagles fan. In fact, the guy that gave this to me, and I won't mention his name, but his initials are Ken Peck. So Ken... If you happen to be watching, Ken, thanks for letting me do this, but he was actually threatening to write up an insurance policy for me to take this towel. He said, "I think I might have to charge you because if this gets lost or something happens to it." And I said, "Ken, let me, I tried to convince him that I would return it, and I promised him that I'm going to use this for a very, very important sermon illustration." And so he reluctantly said, "Okay, maybe this will actually convert you." So, good luck on that one, Ken. But the reason why this became such a success is, again, because of the color and the motion. I will admit to you, I'm not a Steelers fan, but I do love the gimmick of the towel, and I love the spirit that it ignites in the Steeler Nation. Now, I know our producer today is up there probably threatening to cut off live stream right about now. So, Mike, this is for you. We have a Patriots fan up there kind of running things. So, Mike, just so you keep the live stream going, here we are. I see a thumbs up. So, there we go. But I want to introduce you to yet another towel today. Another towel that perhaps combines color, combines motion, has an even greater impact on the spirit of humanity than any other towel. And to introduce this towel, I'm going to have to go to John chapter 13. Let me read to you about the towel. It says, "Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. Now, he loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, but he loved them even to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. But Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God." Let me stop right there for a moment just to let you know what's happening. Jesus is now having some dinner with his disciples, his closest friends. It's kind of just a night out with the crew. But there was something different. There's some detail in here that tells what was happening, but there was something different about this event. There was something in the air that was unsettled. There's a lot of detail in these first verses. We know it's time for dinner. Everyone's at the table, but there's something else that suggests this is not a normal dinner. There's a lot going on here. It says that Jesus knew his hour had come. He knew he was about to be crucified. He knows that one of his close friends is about to betray him. And this is not some stranger that he hasn't met yet. This is not some guy down the street that's going to eventually betray him. No, this is one of his friends sitting at the table. What do you do with that? Jesus knew that this was kind of his last moment. He knew all this was happening. So what do you do? What do you say? When you're coming toward the end of something significant, the end of life, and you know that one of your close friends is going to betray you, you know that the rest of the disciples that are there are going to kind of be lost after all this happens. Well, you do something that is unforgettable, right? You talk about something that is really, really important. In fact, you talk about the things that are most important in life. And look what Jesus chose to do. Verse 5 says, he got up from the table. He took off his outer robe and he wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin. And then he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with this towel. Now, at first glance, you might think, it's a nice thing to do. After all, it's kind of the normal thing to do, right? It's the custom. We know if we study that time period, people walked on dirty streets. They had sandals, flip-flops, maybe even bare feet. And so when you come to dinner, it's a nice thing, maybe just to clean up a little bit for dinner. And so this was something that they did. It was normal in that sense, but it was not normal for a dinner guest to wash feet. It was certainly not normal for the host of the dinner to wash feet. That was only and always the role of a servant. A servant, not someone invited to the table, not one of the close, no, just a servant. For Jesus to do this was unthinkable. It was unthinkable. But it's what he did. He put on the robe, he put on the towel that was a symbol of service. Now, when Jesus did this, I can only picture what was happening in the room. You know, Jesus invited these dinner guests to come to him. They were all at the table. And when Jesus did what only a servant would normally do, I can imagine the air just being sucked out of the room, breathless. No one knew what to say, but they just left it happen, right? And it just kind of happened. Everything was going, everything was cool, until Jesus came to Peter. Now, if there's anyone in this room that does not know about Peter in the Bible, I want you to think of maybe someone in your life, someone who actually says what they're thinking while they're thinking it. You know what I mean? Right, there's no filter, right? The thought comes out. There's nothing to catch the thought that comes out before it impacts everyone in the room, and then everyone has to deal with it. Well, that was Peter. So here's what it says in verse 6 of John chapter 13. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied and said, you don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. Peter says, no. This is not going to happen. You are not going to, you will never, never wash my feet. Well, now everyone in the room is uncomfortable. Now they're wondering what's going to happen next. And it doesn't say this in the text, but I can just imagine one of the guys, maybe James, saying, come on, Peter, just sit down and let him do it, right? But what we do know is what Jesus says in verse 8. Jesus says to Peter, unless I wash your feet, man, you won't belong to me. And at this point, Peter's like backpedaling out of the room and saying, man, why didn't you lead with that? Right? If I would have known that, Jesus, I wouldn't have made such a big scene. I wouldn't have done, sure, go ahead and wash my feet. But then watch what he adds to this. He says in verse 9, well, then don't just wash my feet. Like, if you're going to do this washing thing, then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet. And I imagine Peter pulling off a Jason Kelsey thing, taking off his shirt and saying, just give me a whole bath, right? Jesus replied in verse 10, Peter, put your shirt back on. A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet in order to be entirely clean. And then he looks at all of his disciples and he says, and you disciples are clean, although not all of you. That's what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean, for he knew who would betray him. Now, after washing their feet, he put his robe back on and he sat down and he asked them, do you understand what I just did? Do you understand what I am doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I am your teacher and your Lord, and since I have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. Now, let me summarize what Jesus just did. Let me summarize what Jesus just said. After he washed their feet, he put the water away, he put his coat back on, he asked them the question. He said, listen, I want to make sure that you understand what I just did for you, because what I just did for you is what I want you now to do for each other. So he says, listen, do you understand this? I'm about to leave. Jesus knew this was his last meeting with the disciples. It was called the Last Supper. Jesus knew that he was about to leave, and he looks at all of his disciples and he says, you are my representatives. And if Jesus were right here today, standing on this platform saying this, he would look at everyone in this room. He would look in the camera. He would look in the balcony. He would look everywhere and say, you are my representatives. If the kingdom of God is going to advance, it's going to advance through you, because now you are my hands, you're my feet, you are my body. Thus the church as the body of Christ. So what Jesus did was just this beautiful example of what it means to serve, what it means to make this world work. I believe a great cross reference to John 13 is the text in Philippians chapter 2, where we're called to imitate Christ. And as it says in verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be used for your own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the very form of a what? Servant. A servant. Jesus himself, the servant. It's almost as if Jesus is saying through his word to us, through John chapter 15, through Philippians chapter 2, through every example that he gave of his life, it's almost as if he's saying to us, if you want to know what my kingdom is all about, if you want to know how it operates, just know it is different from anything else that you have experienced. It is often not what your gut, what your heart, what your mind says that you should do. My kingdom is about putting others first. My kingdom is about helping everyone feel seen, known, loved, and valued. My kingdom is about the Tao in motion, the Tao of serving. That's the point of serving. So we're asking the questions here at Grand Point Church. Why do we do what we do? Why do we gather? Why do we preach? Why do we sing? Why do we give? Why do we serve? Because that's what works. That's what works. That's the mandate that Jesus gave to us, to serve as he served us. That's why we serve. Now, here at Grand Point, we talk about a 6 o'clock p.m. service. We talk about a 8:15 a.m. service, a 9:45. We call them services, right? When you're working, when you're doing something here, you often say, I'm serving as a host today, or I'm serving as a greeter, I'm serving on the worship team. See, it's all about serving, isn't it? And that's right. That's appropriate. The scouts have an oath that talk about serving each other. That's because that's what works. Jesus knew that's what would make this world work the way that it should. It's not what we get as consumers. It's not about being served. It's about us actually doing the serving. Now, I believe there's a whole bunch of good in us. that wants to do these things. I believe there's a part of everyone in this room today that says, yes, I want to put other people first. I want to serve. I want to do this, or I want to do that. But there's things that kind of creep up in our lives that keep us from doing it. I'm guilty of this as well. They stop us from being able to serve. And I think one of the big things that steals our opportunities to serve and put other people first is the fact that we believe we don't have the time. I don't have the time to do this. You know, I would love to be more involved. I would love to do more. I would love to start this. I would love to begin that. But I simply cannot add another thing to my schedule. You know what that's like, don't you? I can't add another thing to this. Man, I'm doing all these other things. Now, for a lot of us then, we live with this mindset of we know what Jesus said about service, about putting other people first. We know all about that. We know that we should do that. But now it's just not a good time. Oh, maybe when I get that bid, maybe when I get the promotion, right? Maybe when I get the raise, maybe when I'm out of debt, maybe when the kids are out of the house, maybe when I retire, and on we go. I can't believe how many retired people are now busier than when they were working. What's the matter with you people, right? But listen, I understand, totally understand. There are seasons of life. There's stages of life that you go through where there's so many things that take your time, so many things that occupy your so many priorities that come up. I totally understand that, and that is normal. But let me just say this. Time never frees itself up. If you're waiting to start serving, waiting to do something that you know that you can do, know that you perhaps should do, know where you can help, time will never free itself up. Listen, serving requires you and me making decisions to say no to something so that we can say yes to something else. That's a core, that's a basic principle of life, right? One of the greatest books that I've ever read was called Necessary Endings. And it just simply talks about the fact that we have to say no, we have to stop some things so that we do have room in our schedules and margin to do something else. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, the writer says, if we're going to imitate Christ, we will value others above yourselves. We won't look to our own interests, but we will look to the interests of others. Let me tell you, that does not just happen because you feel like doing that. That happens because you make the decision to do it. The second thing that steals our opportunity to serve is the belief that we don't have the title. We don't have the title. Like a lot of us, we want to do something, but we just don't know exactly what to do. And so some of you walk in here and some of your minds, you're like, wow, Grand Point is a big church. They probably don't need me to do anything because they're well-staffed. They have this big worship team up here and they have quality people doing this and that. And you begin to look at areas where you're not gifted. Like, I don't have those gifts. I don't have that education. I don't have that ability. I don't have that gift. I don't have that title. Can I just say something to you? In God's family, everyone has a part. Everyone has a part. I love the scriptures that talk about that, and I'm going to get to those in just a moment, but let me tell you about a story. Story about a little guy who was trying out for a part in the school play. This is an old story, and maybe you've heard it. But he was so set on this. I mean, he was working on it, practicing the lines, but his mother was so fearful that he just would not make it. He would not be able to do this. So the day came when the parts were awarded. The little guy went to school. His mom went to pick him up afterwards. And as she drove into the school, she saw him coming. She couldn't tell yet what his reaction was, but as he got closer, she could see it all over his face. His eyes were gleaming and shining with pride and excitement. And so mom just says when he gets in the car, did you get the part? And he said something that maybe should be a lesson for all of us today. He said, yes, I've been chosen to clap and cheer. Now, that is not to suggest, That is not to suggest that your part in the ministry is just clapping and cheering for everybody else doing the work, but it does suggest that everyone has a part to play, and the part that you have to play does not need a title, does not need a title, does not need a degree, does not need an education, does not even perhaps need the experience. It's what God has gifted you to do. Let me tell you about another story. This is a true story that was sent to me this week by one of our elders. The story is told by Enos Martin. Enos is a pastor in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. He's also a psychiatrist. He tells this story that happened to him not so long ago. He says, I just finished my 1 mile jog and I was feeling refreshed and invigorated. I was also pleased that I could still do that distance on the third day after my 80th birthday. As I returned to my car, I saw that Walter's Portable Toilet Services was servicing the outdoor toilets at the Mount Joy Township Park, and on the side of their truck was written the phrase, "We love people." As I turned to leave, I rolled down the window and greeted the serviceman with the words, he said, your sign says that you love people, and I just want to say that we appreciate what you do. We appreciate the way that you serve our community. The serviceman smiled, and Enos says, I just drove away. And then it occurred to him, as he was about to leave the park, that I've never really seen a clean porta potty. So he goes, I'm 80 years old. Maybe I'll never have another chance to do this. So he turned around, and he went back to meet the serviceman again. He says, I just want to see what you do. Upon hearing the desire, the serviceman invited me in to inspect his work. He says it was truly an amazing sight. The tank was clean and it was a fresh smell, and the bottom of the tank looked like it had some styrofoam, because I don't think it was styrofoam, but it looked like that. The serviceman was obviously proud and he was pleased with the work that he did for the community. We had a pleasant conversation about some of the unusual experiences that have occurred at this particular outdoor toilet. Apparently, that happens. And as I pondered this experience, Mr. Martin says, I was impressed that this man took such pride in cleaning toilets with excellence. He gave attention to detail. He compassionately responded to persons inquiring about and expressing interest in his work. In fact, Enos says, I was so impressed that when I got home, I looked up this service, this company online. And I wanted to see what their value statement was. I wanted to see what made them this way. And on the website, he learned that Fabe and Bev Walters started this family-owned business in 1973 with a simple $900 investment in a septic cleaning system mounted on the back of their truck. And their motto was, "Our service is the difference." They obviously have prospered. They've become successful. They're now serving communities in Virginia, in Washington, D.C., in Maryland, and Pennsylvania. They have managers. They have regional managers. They have all kinds of employees in this business. And in addition to their core business, they use their finances to support the Bethesda Mission and scholarships, educational scholarships, for the children of all of their employees. The Walters credit their business success in this following statement, and here's what they say. They say, the bedrock of our company is that we love people and we strive to provide extraordinary service. That could be the mission statement of a church, right? We love people. We love people and we're here to provide an extraordinary service, because that's the motion of the towel. That's what we do. It's what Jesus did. It's what he said, as I have done to you, this is what I want you to do for others. So we're all servants. That's what we do. This could be our mission statement. We love people and we strive to provide this extraordinary service. See, within this business of the septic company, all the executives, all the administrators, all the managers exist so that this man can do the service with excellence, so that he can do the work of the business, serving people with love and cleaning up after them. Maybe that's what Jesus meant when he said, unless I wash your feet, you don't have any part with me, and unless you wash each other's feet with excellence and with love and with commitment, even unto death, you cannot be my disciple. Cannot. The success of our business at Grand Point Church is putting on this bright and colorful, terrific towel. Not a terrible towel. We'll let that for another team. But the terrific towel of serving each other, helping everyone in this place feel seen and known and loved and valued by serving them. And you know what happens when we serve in that manner? The business will expand. The business will expand. The service makes the difference. That's why we have a room full of people in here. It's why we do four services. It's why we have a campus at Shippensburg and now at Greencastle. It's why we have our online video venue. It's growing because of your service. You're doing this well. See, when we serve in that manner, the business expands. You know what I'm excited for today? This afternoon at 12:30 and tonight at 6 o'clock p.m., we're hosting Get to Know Grand Point Dinners. We have 47 people coming out to that, and what excites me about that is this. Some of those people who are coming just to check us out to explore Grand Point, some of them may stay. Some of them may become partners with us in service. And the reason I'm excited about that is exactly because of what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Every one of us has received the grace. What that means is we've all been given gifts. Every single person in this room, every single person coming to that dinner tonight, every single person that comes in here has been given a gift. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Isn't that amazing? That's how it works. That's how it works. For those of us on staff here, listen, our job is not to do the work. Our job is to equip others to do what God has called them to do. In that way, we're all serving together. No one's just an observer. No one's just a consumer. We're all servers. You may not believe that you have the time to do it. You may not believe that you have the title, but can I ask you this morning just to believe that you have the towel? You have the towel. The towel is the opportunity. The towel is the calling. The towel is the mandate for Jesus to say, as I've done to you, I just want you to do to others. Every October, we do what we call Vision Weekend here at Grand Point, and it's when we take our vision and our mission and we just kind of reset it. We remind each other of what we're here for. And it's a beautiful thing. We frame our vision in terms of vision lanes. And that's because it's not just one thing that we do, but it's multiple lanes that we take down the road to help us accomplish our goal of helping as many people find and follow Jesus Christ. Those three lanes are we're here to serve the body of Christ, we're here to serve our community, and we're here to serve our globe, people all around this world. I just want to give you a little bit of an update today because this is a perfect example of how God's people serve and how the church, the body of Christ, works when we do. Vision lane number one, we decided we just want to go deeper in our relationships with God and each other, and we truly do want to be a place where every person is seen, known, loved, and valued. We wanted to increase, to help do that, we wanted to increase the percentage of people that are involved in our ministry from 28.5% serving to 50%. I think we should have made it 100% because we're all called. But anyway, it's working. Today, we are launching a brand new ministry or tool of our ministry called the Volunteer Serving Portal. Now, this is not replace those of us on staff or those of us in ministry perhaps coming to you and saying, hey, we see in you some great service. Would you be willing to do this? Would you be willing to step into this position? But what this does, it allows you to know the serving opportunities that currently exist at Grand Point Church. Because just in case you come in here and think that all the positions are filled, I get to just sit. No, there are 407 open positions right now at Grand Point Church. 407. That's across all of our campuses. I know that number is staggering. It might surprise you. But can you imagine if they were all filled? So there's opportunities there. You can go online and you can follow that portal. It will show you where everything is and you can determine maybe where you fit and where you want to serve. It's an interest connection, right? Signing up or indicating your interest on that does not commit you to the next 50 years of serving in the nursery or anything like that, right? It just says, hey, I'm interested here. Can we have a conversation? And someone will contact you. A beautiful tool that we're just launching today, and I hope that you take advantage of that. coming up this Friday night, November or February the 9th, Grand Point Church is hosting Night to Shine. You've heard about this. This required over 200 volunteers to do this. And within weeks, every one of those spots was filled, even to the point of having a waiting list. Thank you, thank you, thank you for serving in that capacity. Our in-person volunteer spots filled quickly, so we added a couple other things, about 70 other items that needed to be purchased for this, like bracelets and gift cards for caregivers and everything else. And within 2 weeks, almost every one of those items was filled. Thank you for being servants. Ageless Ventures, a brand new ministry for those 60 and older, right? Just launched, and it is thriving. It has gone far beyond what we ever anticipated it to be because many of you have stepped up, and you're part of serving each other with social connections and friendships and serving opportunities. Thank you. Thank you for serving. That's just vision lane number one. Vision lane number two is greater engagement with community partners. We decided in October that by the beginning of this year, we want to have outreach coordinators or captains or people in every one of those campuses that connects with the community. We've got that. Thank you again for those of you who step up and are stepping out to lead in that area. Coming up this fall, we're going to do a Serve Saturday where at every campus, we're going to gather together. We're going to unite together in some kind of a little rally. We're going to go out and just serve the community in so many ways. Just be watching for that. And finally, are you ready for this? We now have a new permanent home for our Greencastle campus. Go ahead and give it up. This is so good. There it is. We are so excited about this. We are currently in agreements now in conversations with the United Brethren, a denomination, to purchase this property on Cozy Town Road. Who knows where Cozy Town Road is? Really? So many of you know where that is? This is on Cozy Town Road. The building was vacated at the end of December 2023. The congregation there had dwindled. They were down to about six people. They just couldn't keep this place going. So it has now been sitting empty, but it is the perfect spot for us. It has a sanctuary, connecting room, a basement for kids ministry, and a full gym in the back, which is where the worship services will be held. So the everything has not been signed yet. For those of you in real estate, know that anything can happen, right, until it's signed. But this is looking good, and as soon as that agreement is signed, we're going to let you know how you can participate and, man, help and refresh this building, get the life back into it. Our goal is to have our first service in there on Easter Sunday of this year in this resurrected building. So thankful for your prayers for that. This will make a difference as we serve that community. And then finally, our third vision lane was strategic global partnerships. Some of you know that we have a direct connection to India. And for the last 7 years, we have been funding and fully supporting seven pastors in India. Now they have developed, they have multiplied, they have trained about four more pastors to have churches in those communities. On Saturday, Doug and Cressa Coldsmith, Penny and myself are going to be traveling to India, and we're going to meet up with those seven pastors and the new pastors that are there to see if we can develop even a greater partnership with them. And then after about 7 days of that, then we travel into Bangladesh, and we'll be visiting a medical community, a women's ministry there, a couple other brand new ministries, and we're just going to investigate and just see if there's any way that Grand Point Church can serve those communities even in a greater way. And maybe sometime have some of you also travel to that area as well. So we invite you to pray for us as we travel on Saturday. And then coming back in 2 weeks after that, I then have an opportunity to meet with some pastors in Oklahoma City at Life.Church to talk about the Global Leadership Network, a network ministry that is designed to help train up world-class leaders all over the globe. And we have been a host site here at Grand Point for the last 7 or 8 years of that Global Leadership Summit. And so I'll be meeting with these pastors to see how we can improve those connections within the local church. So that's our global outreach, our global connections. And all this is to say thank you for making all this possible. Thank you for being men and women who are committed to serving. Now, what that means is I will not be here for the next three weekends, but we have some great lineup of speakers, and I can't wait to come back at the end of February and just let you know how God is moving in our global connections. But I can't think of a better time. Honestly, I cannot think of a better time to be a part of Grand Point Church. There's so much that's happening. There's so many moving parts right now, so many towels in motion, but we can even do more. We can do more. I invite you to stop out and check out the servant portal and see where you might be able to serve. Have conversations to see how you can be part of this as well. You know what, in hindsight, as I think about this now, I wish I would have thought about this earlier. I would have made up towels for Grand Point. Wouldn't that be neat? We're not going to have a terrible towel, but we're going to have some kind of a terrific towel. You know what? And right about now, I'd have you raise those towels up over your head, put them in some kind of emotion and say, let's go, Grand Point, let's go. Because I think we're poised. We're poised for some great days ahead, some great moments ahead, and every single person in this room is a part of it. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of Grand Point. Thank you for serving. Thank you for using your gifts. In fact, some of you have gifts of encouragement that you probably do not know about. Just the fact that you're here, the connections that you make, the things that you say, the words that you share to our youth ministry, our Kids Point, our worship team, you have served well just by your encouragement. Thank you for being a part of that. Let me just read 1 Peter 4:10 again, then we're going to worship together. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace, its various forms. That's the beauty of the church. Various forms everywhere, but all of you giving and serving, maybe even ways that we have not even thought of yet. Maybe you would add number 408 to that list because you have a gift, you have something that you see you could do that we haven't even thought about. It's the beauty of the church at work. Thank you for being the church. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for being a servant God. Not a God who just wanted to come to this earth and sit on some kind of a throne and bark out orders and have everyone bow down to you and all that. But thank you that you were a God who was willing to bow at your servant's feet and wash your disciples' feet. God, my prayer would be that as we live in the dirt and filth of this world, that we would be willing to serve those as well. Maybe those who are not even like us. Maybe those who have dirtied their feet by walking in paths where they should not have gone. Maybe who have lived lives that are somewhat ridden with shame and guilt. But nevertheless, your people, God, help us to see everyone in ways that we would love them and be willing to serve them and show value to them as part of your kingdom work. God, thank you for modeling exactly what it meant for us to serve others. Help us to do this well. In Jesus' name, amen.